everybody. Welcome back to Paying This episode 168. 168 weeks of us bringing you all the hottest stories that Microsoft is pinging each other about, and I've got a huge smile on my face. And Paul, that's because it's Valentine's Day.
Oh, okay.
No, it's because Paul's here in Seattle, live in person, in the flesh, stopping by. We are honored by your presence.
And I'm honored to be here.
So what do we owe this just great privilege?
Well, I wanted to celebrate our fourth year anniversary here on Ping.
Aww.
It's either three or four years. It's somewhere
like
in
that.
There.
Whatever.
I don't know.
Some special number.
And I thought it was also important that, since I wasn't with my girlfriend on New Year's Eve, that I come visit here her on Valentine's.
Hence, Doghouse, otherwise Doghouse would have been something.
Oh, yeah, I would have been
so it's not so much
eternally.
You felt it was important, more you feared for your livelihood.
And people on Ping also wanted to, you know, change up the show a little bit.
They did.
They said you should get some guest hosts in here, maybe some dudes.
Some dudes.
So we may have a little bit of a
We got a dude.
Yeah.
Paul got a dude.
Yep.
So.
I'm good at that.
And Paul brought a guest into the show. So.
Oh, good. Multiple things. But yeah, we do appreciate the feedback that you gave. It was a little light last time. One person did say that they loved the show how it is.
Herb was the one who suggested we bring in some guests. Target said, or TGRT, slightly dyslexic, he said that he liked the show just as it is. Masakuma was, I think, personally offended by what he thinks were my ignorant comments. I don't recall making ignorant comments, but I'd love to know what they were, and I will reply to them if I feel like it.
Yep, and I replied to him talking about how the For Africa initiative actually has the App Factory portion of it, where there's actually a group of 30 or so people that are working on understanding the problems that need to be addressed in Africa that apps can possibly help with, and then actually have a team that will implement those that are based in, I believe, South Africa. So hopefully Masakuma will recognize that Microsoft is investing in things that are specifically for that continent. And hopefully it's not just, you know, Microsoft working with Huawei, the partner, to build nonsensical African apps and, you know, put those out in 13 cities. So,
right, like Super Sad Trombone.
Right. Yeah, that is a worldwide phenomena. Anyway, you want to get the show started?
Let's do it. We need more cowbell.
In the studio today, we have Alex Nagy. He is a former developer here at Microsoft and recently quit his job at Microsoft to found a company and a product called GamerLoop. So welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me here, Paul.
So tell us a little bit about what GamerLoop is.
So GamerLoop's all about using huge amounts of data to make gaming better. It really focuses on solving problems that have never been solved before in gaming. And so some quick ideas are that if you're a gamer and there's a lot of multiplayer achievements in a game, how do you find other people for doing that? In the past, you've always had to go on the internet, kind of scrounge around forums, maybe set up scheduling times. Well, with GamerLoop, you just type in your gamer tag and it shows you who's online right now that needs the same achievements you do.
Very cool. So these are specifically for Xbox Live achievements, right?
Right. It's only on Xbox Live right now. And really, Xbox Live is the first thing I chose because, Microsoft's a familiar thing to me. And really, Xbox is the premier platform for online services.
Very cool. So did you have this idea before you quit your job at Microsoft? Or is it something that after you left, you were hacking around with and stumbled upon it?
It was sort of something that had always been floating in my head. I'm kind of a gamer myself, and so there's always times when you're playing, you're like, man, there's really opportunity to make something better here and make something more fun. And so it was kind of combining two things I love, like big scale engineering and gaming.
So when you say big scale engineering, I don't really think of, you know, Xbox Live gamer points as big amounts of data, but you actually do have a serious amount of data in the back end, is that right?
Yeah, GamerLoop right now warehouses about 100 gigabytes of data, and so overall, when you look at how much GamerLoop is processing right now, it indexes around 400,000 gamers per day. Really, when you look around the internet, other sites that kind of pursue achievements. I think the largest one out there has around 200,000 gamers total. So Gamerloop's just running at a completely different scale.
Wow. So the other sites that are out there have a total of around 200,000, and every day you get twice that amount indexed into Gamerloop.
Right. Right now, Gamerloop indexes around 1.6 billion achievements, and that number goes up by a couple million every day. I think Gamerloop indexes, or has in its index, around 10 million gamers total. But again, that's going up every day, too. There really is no other company out there building something on the scale of Gamerloop other than Microsoft itself.
Wow, that's really cool. So the website's gamerloop.com, and if anyone wants to check it out, they don't have to sign up or anything. They just type in their gamer tag or their friend's gamer tags, and they can just see all of the achievements for that they've had, right?
Right, exactly. And what Gamerloop is doing to really do something unique and make things better is that when you go on there, it looks at what you've played and it shows you what are the easiest achievements that you might have missed, but it also highlights the hardest ones that you've gotten so you can kind of show off to your friends. The other things that it does is when you have this much data about achievements is that you can start making recommendations about order and say that, you know, based on the way other people have played games, now, here's a good order for you to play it to make sure you don't have to replay because you've missed things.
Oh, that's really, really clever. I remember when I first saw this pop up on your Facebook feed and I saw that I could look up the most difficult achievement I've received. It was actually for Wordament, and apparently only 2.4% of Wordament players out there have earned the World Champ achievement. I was like, yes, I want to share this on my Facebook wall. So
yes.
That's a very clever way of getting people to want to showcase these achievements. And I'm sure the folks at Xbox Live also like the notion of getting people to share things that they're proud of.
Yeah, that's a testament to your prowess here.
Yeah, but it's me doing this way too much on my phone every time I have 3 minutes of downtime.
Yeah. Some other things that really help gamers out. I know there was a pretty enthusiastic forum thread going on.
About the Chivos!
Yeah, about the Chivos. And, you know, someone on there was taking some flack because he hadn't completed, I think, Hannah Montana. The last one was a multiplayer achievement. But I've got you all set up. You just go on to Gamerloop and it'll show you who's online right now that needs that achievement. And it's also not just a simple thing. It looks at what you need and what you already have. So it'll be a perfect match to help you complete out that game.
Well, that's very cool. So B-Boy360 or anybody else needs those Hannah Montana achievements,
yeah,
can go out there and play the multiplayer version and get those extra points. So the last thing I'd like to just chat about briefly is you actually are taking advantage of one of the programs at Microsoft called BizSpark.
Yep, Gamerloop is a BizSpark startup. And what that means is you get connected with all types of software, a full MSDN subscription, and that comes with privileges that give you compute instances on Azure, blob storage, and bandwidth. And so it's been really helpful for Gamerloop, and it really was a very good decision for us right now as we build it out.
That's very cool. So are you guys like looking for anything? Are you looking for funding, more employees, or are you just playing around with your product market fit right now? Like what's the next things on your agenda?
So Gamerloop just went public with its beta about a month ago, and it's growing. But I'm definitely looking around now for additional developers, business development people, design people. So, you know, if you're really passionate about games and big data and you're enthusiastic about it, definitely send me an email. I'm alex@gamerloop.com, and feel free to follow on Twitter and Facebook.
Very cool. Thanks a lot for joining us in the studio today.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
All right, Paul, so last week we again made history, the United States of America. Did you watch the State of the Union?
I did not watch it. I was stuck in traffic, but I listened to it because I listen to NPR when I'm on the road.
All right, well, I'm not going to ask you what your political preferences are. And since you didn't watch it and you were, would you say you were driving?
I was listening to it.
You were listening to it. I'm assuming that you didn't actually get to go online during it and see what Bing was up to during the live State of the Union.
No, I had no idea what the Twitter sphere was saying, what Bing was saying.
Oh, my God.
I was so disconnected.
You got your information from just one singular source
from
at a time?
Yeah, it was from the actual source.
How archaic.
It was like I was in 1990. 1995.
Right, but then you went home and then got from lots of multiple other sources.
No, I think I went out to a birthday party and then drank and then totally forgot that we just had another inauguration.
All right. Well, had you been paying attention to the world and the news and reporters and what people are saying, you might have seen that Bing had a very interesting way of delivering you your information. So essentially you go to this website where you can watch the State of the Union, and you can filter whether or not you want your other sort of comments coming to you to be sort of right-wing or left-wing. So if you just don't want to hear what the other people on the other side of the aisle have to say, you can just shut them up and only listen to what you want to hear.
Yeah, I thought this was a really, really impressive way of near real-time sentiment analysis where you can, I think actually during the during the event, the State of the Union, they were taking every 15 minutes and updating these graphs in near real time, and you could filter it based on the demographic of the people that are tweeting and the people that you're interested in, whether you know they're conservative, independent, or liberal, as well as if it was male or female. And now afterwards they said that they had 12.9 million tweets that they've analyzed, and they've broken down each of the demographics that I just mentioned into their respective, you know, favorable, non-favorable, or, you know, unsure.
Yeah, it's absolutely really cool. I've never seen anything like this, or never even heard of any sort of idea like this. It's really cool. Although I must say, one of the things that I like to do is read books by the enemy, right? And listen to the enemy's reports on the television, because, you know, you got to keep them close.
Of course.
You know, you got to know what they're up to.
You keep your friends close.
Exactly.
And your enemies
exactly.
closer.
Exactly. So if all I heard and all I thought was going on in the world was what people who thought my beliefs were right, you know, most of the people, you know, then I'd really, you know, I'd be open to attack. So I arm myself with the knowledge of what my enemy is thinking.
Yeah.
So, in fact, what I could do is swing my little divider over on the Bing State of the Union page to see just what the other people are thinking.
Yeah. What I do is whenever I have any type of political debates with anybody, I really don't care what happens at all. All I'd like to see is how well educated people are on their stance.
Right.
So whatever they say, I will just ask questions about it or say something like of another person's opinion just to see if they get super emotional about how they feel versus laying down some facts and citing sources about why they have an
fun.
Educated opinion.
We should hang out more.
Yeah.
All right, Paul, so I don't want to say I'm a pioneer. I mean, I'll let other people say that for me. But back in 1999, I was doing interactive programming about gaming, right?
Really?
Yep, back then, called allgames.com on the Pseudo Network. Look it up.
They had
just
the internet back then?
Yeah, it just started. It was new.
I'd like to thank the Academy.
And then I went to television, and now I'm back on the internet. And apparently, Microsoft has now decided to blend all things loved, and we are creating the Xbox television studios, Xbox production studios down in Los Angeles, to sort of blend television with interactivity.
Yeah, when this first started happening, we covered a little bit on Ping, where we talked about the executive that
Nancy Tellem
that we hired from CBS to put
taught
this,
her everything she knows,
put this studio together, and now it's been released that there's about 125 people that they're either that they've already hired or that they're hiring into the studio down in LA.
Yeah, Nancy quotes, she's like, you know, when I worked in traditional television, I used to watch TV and be like, God, wouldn't it be great if we could just add some sort of interactive element, you know, like I was doing back in 99, right? Like that. And now with the blending of Xbox, and we have those capabilities, that they're going to launch this production studio dedicated to interactive, gaming, unique television, which is something that I think we've also seen coming and hoped it would come to fruition for a long time. But I'm really actually excited, as much as I can, I'm really excited to see the quality of work that these people do. I'm always pretty much impressed with what Xbox puts out. Obviously, Nancy Tellem has a resume as long as my rap sheet, so this could be something really awesome, you know?
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what Microsoft does here, because there are only a handful of companies that have the types of resources and reach that can pull something like this off. With Xbox having now 76 million consoles that have been sold, Xbox 360s, that's like three times as many as the original Xbox. And there's, on average, for Xbox Live Gold subscribers, they spend 87 hours a month on their Xbox, which
yeah, she said she's like, you wake up in the morning and you do your exercise program with Kinect Fit, and then you play your games and you watch your movies and you share your pictures. And I don't do all those things in one day, but I do all of those things. So she's right in the fact that our whole living room entertainment focus is leaning towards and going towards this Xbox.
Yeah, and so with Xbox 360, starting with hardcore games and going to casual games, then going to traditional linear like television style entertainment of watching movies, watching shows. Now with the broad reach, the large consumer base, and now this impressively sized studio down in Los Angeles to build original interactive content.
Yeah.
I'm very interested to see what the first series of experiments are going to be, whether it's going to be a linear TV show that has some second screen elements on Xbox Smart Glass.
Smart Glass, yeah, you
would
think.
Or if it's going to be a real-time show or some type of news program where they have real-time commentary
yeah.
from the web.
I see a Ping investigative story forming as we speak.
If only we knew someone down in Los Angeles.
Or someone who wanted to go there desperately.
Oh, man.
Paul, you know when people say size doesn't matter?
Never heard that.
Do you buy into that?
Nope.
Size does matter, so says Microsoft. And apparently, we are set up potentially to build some little bitty tablets.
Yeah.
We've been focusing on 10 inches and higher. And now, we're downsizing.
Yeah, well. So I think that there's some questions that have been asked out there whether Microsoft's positioned to do a Surface RT Mini. And
right.
the people that have been responding are saying that Microsoft really embraces all sorts of different form factors, ranging from phones that are 4 to 5 inches to touchscreen experiences that can range anywhere from 7 inches to 13 inches, as well as large displays with your 27-inch monitor that's sitting on your desktop. And they reinforce that there is a common kernel across the Windows Phone 8 and the Windows 8 OSs, and that there's a great developer ecosystem that can take advantage of all those things. So
people are just never happy, is what that means.
No, people want to get the.
People are never happy.
They want to get the.
They've got their phone. They've got their 10-inch device. I've seen huge, massive, multi-touch, touchscreen, big screen TVs. But no. Now I need the 7-incher.
Yeah, I have spent a lot of the last 6 months exploring different form factors, and I have a smaller form factor that I actually enjoy. I love the portability of it. I love the lightness of it. Even when you think of the traditional tablet that's only a pound and a half, when you get something that's even lighter and smaller, you think, oh, I really can't enjoy something that's that size. But you can watch movies on it. It's still bigger than the same. Just grow up. Just grow up. It's bigger than the rest, the TVs in the back of the headrest in front of you in planes.
Stop the program!
It's awesome. I'm so happy that we're going to do this.
Yeah. So anyway, I think it's important for Microsoft to make sure that whatever devices they put into market that are actually Microsoft branded, that they try and make them best of class. Otherwise, they need to work very closely with their partners to ensure that there is a sufficiently sized market.
Right, and you want to make sure that all the apps have a consistent look and feel on all the different form factors and sizes.
Yeah, or empower developers to be able to very highly target what it works well on, what it's compatible with, and what it doesn't work on at all, so that people, when they buy something, they understand that it's going to work on a specific device, or it's going to work on a range of devices.
Right, and so just to be clear, there is no confirmation of this, but it's something that Peter Klein, Microsoft Finance Chief, said we are set up for. So he sort of alluded to it. We are not starting rumors at all. All right, everybody, that wraps up this week's episode. We want to thank our guest for coming by. Everyone check out gamerloop.com, right?
Yep.
And I believe he did shout out his email, so if you want to spam him, just go ahead. He's the one who put it out there publicly.
Alex@gamerloop.com.
There you go.
And I'd like to thank Laura for being in the studio with me today.
Yeah. I'd like to thank Paul for brushing his teeth. And I think there might be cologne.
Nope.
Well, actually, just be eye overdosed.
I wore this shirt a couple weeks ago, and I think I probably put cologne on it then.
So there you go, to cover up the smell of cigarettes.
Yep.
All right, well, everybody, the question of the week. We want to hear what you did for Valentine's Day. We will share our dirty stories. We know that you're going to be spending it with your girlfriend, but we want to hear every little detail.
Well, we're going to make a wonderful filet mignon and some Benihana chicken fried rice and some seafood pasta. And then we're probably going to watch Taken 2.
What's that?
It's the sequel to Taken.
Right. Did she pick that?
She loved the original Taken because I think she wants to believe that if she were ever abducted in another country, that I would be magically...
Is this the guy who's like, I only have an elite set of skills, and yes. one of them is killing you or something yeah. like that? Whereas, I've never seen it.
Whereas if I did that, I'm sure I would try and like book an immediate trip, and then like my credit cards would get declined, and I would just get really confused and not want to pay for like data usage on my cell phone in another
right.
country.
That it's just a romantic.
Yeah, I'm just practical.
All right, so we want to hear what you did, and we'll tell you all about ours. In the meantime, you can tweet me at Alfoy.
And me at Paul Ness.
See you next week.